Roy Kinnear plays Norman, and Eileen Derbyshire, Alice, in this play by David Fitzsimmons. Once Upon a Christmas.
Ah.
I'll teach him. Teach him.
Are you upset about something, Norman? You're upset. I can tell you're upset. Has somebody said something? Done something? Speak to me, Norman.
Oh, I'll teach him. I'll teach him. They'll get the cards for this. They'll get the cards all right. I'll see them. Do you know what Starkey said? He said, pity they found you in time. He said that. That's what he said. Him, the foreman. There's me, nearly strangled, half dead, and he says, I'm taking this higher, much higher, to the general manager, to Broster. They're not getting away with this. I'll see they get their cards. 20 minutes they left me hanging there. I could have strangled. I nearly strangled. I nearly didn't come home tonight, Alice.
Don't say that, Norman.
And they'll have to buy me a new overall. This one's ruined. There's a big hole in the back where the hook went through. 20 minutes they left me hanging there in the paint store. It took three of them to lift me down. They said my face was purple.
Calm down, Norman.
I could feel the life draining out of me. My head was pounding like a sledgehammer. Oh, I couldn't have lasted much longer. Another few minutes
and... Oh, dear.
They were drunk, you know. They'd been up the Dyer's Arms all dinner time. They'd paid us this morning, you see, with it being Christmas Eve. That was stupid. They should have realised what would happen. 11:30 they downed tools and they were off. Just walked out. Starkey didn't stop them. He didn't try. He couldn't have stopped them. They treat him like a cream puff. They come back daft, staggering about, singing songs with mucky words.
No.
And where office girls passing through could hear. I said to them, I said, what's your bloody language? And they turned on me. So I repeated it. 20 minutes they left me hanging in the paint store. If old Charlie Greenhalgh hadn't come back to stick his brush in turps, I'd be dead now.
No.
As dead as that table. Even smelling salt stuck under my nose didn't bring me round straight away, so you can judge how bad I was. And all Starkey could say was, pity they found you in time. There's me, nearly brutally manslaughtered, and all he could say...
Try not to think about it. We've had a card from Auntie Nellie.
How can I not think about it? You can't imagine what I've been through.
I can't.
No, you can't. Nobody can. Nobody who's not been through what I've been through can. It's not the first time I've been got at. It's not. Oh, I've been got at before. I've had me sweeping brush sabotaged more than once. 3 times I've had it nobbled. They saw it nearly through, you see, so that after a few sweeps, the head drops off. They think they're clever. Oh, I blame Starkey. He gives them free rein. And I know why. He can't do otherwise. He's in too deep. Are you with me?
No.
He's in on all the fiddles that go on, making things they're not supposed to. Do you follow?
No.
They should be making wooden patterns for the foundry. That's their job. But they're doing other things.
Other things?
Candlesticks, lamp standards, coffee tables. If it's wooden and small enough to be smuggled past the gatehouse under a Mac or in the boot of a car, they make it. They steal a fortune. And Starkey's in on it. He's in deep, up to here. He's the worst of the lot. Oh, but he's had it now. They've all had it. Their fun and games will soon be over, because straight after the holidays, I'm into Broster. I tried to see him this afternoon, but he was at some office party or other. But first thing Monday morning, I'll be in there, and then the sparks will fly. Oh, they'll be sacked. Yeah, they'll have their houses raided. They'll have criminal proceedings taken against them. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Mr. Broster doesn't use his connections to see they're blacklisted from every firm in this town.
Don't go on any more.
They might have a Merry Christmas, but they won't have a very Happy New Year.
Let us have a Merry Christmas, Norman. Do you think it's going to snow? A white Christmas will be nice.
They think they're smart, but I'll show them. Oh, they'll be lucky to get a job on the bins after this.
No, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't have a white Christmas, just like on the cards.
Looks like rain to me.
No, them clouds are too low for rain. And other people have said it'll snow. Ken said it will.
Ken?
Ken, the butcher. Better go and get your wellies out, he said.
He said what?
You better go.
I heard you.
He always has something cheerful to say.
What other cheerful things does he say?
Well, well, he says. Good morning, or afternoon.
Depending on which it is.
Yes. Sometimes he says, good morning, sunshine. And he makes jokes about Peter's long hair.
Peter?
His assistant. This morning he said, Peter went to the barber's last night and the barber took one look at him and said, do you want it cut in now or have you just come for an estimate? Peter has long hair.
That's not very hygienic in a butcher's.
It's not so long.
The barber thought it was.
He didn't really go to the barber's. Ken made it up.
I don't think you should go there for your meat any more.
But I look forward to going.
I won't fancy it.
It's no use me going then.
No.
I hope it does snow. It'll be nice seeing the children playing in the snow round at our Jones.
Round where?
Jones. I think we're going there. Last time we saw her, she said, you and Norman will be all on your own Christmas Day. You must come to us. You heard her.
I don't remember.
You did, when we bumped into her in the market last... it'll be 3 weeks ago now. She said, didn't you hear her?
No.
I'm certain she did. Well, I think she did. Yes, she did. But I don't know whether we're going for dinner, tea or what. You'd think she'd have let us know. I mean, we might have planned to go somewhere else. Where else would we go? And she'll pop round tonight or send one of the children to let us know definitely.
I'm not going anyhow. I'll be all right here.
Hey.
Doing my bike.
Not Christmas Day.
Why not?
Well, it's not the sort... I think she'd have let us know sooner. I haven't known whether to buy in for tomorrow or not. Oh, we're bound to be going. She is my only sister, and now that our mum's not here, it's only fair that... I mean, his sister will be there.
You've had it in for me ever since I flushed her dirty magazines away. They'd hide them in the lavatories, balanced above the ball cocks. They'd sneak in and read them. Hours on end, smoking and reading dirty magazines. But I found them. I tore them up and flushed them away. That put an end to their little game.
I'll give her a bit longer, and if she's not here by then, I'll go and mix the stuffing ready for tomorrow. Although she did say outside Redmond's on the market, I wouldn't be mistaken over a thing like that.
Then there's the time they put the hand grenade in me locker. I didn't know it was just the casing. How was I to know? I was right to ring for the fire brigade. You can't afford to mess about. You read about these things, things are exploding all over the place all the time. The fire brigade called the police and the police called the bomb disposal unit and they all laughed at me. But I didn't think it was very funny.
But I'll have to pop round in the morning anyhow with the presents. I thought of giving Joan a bottle of bath salts. Do you think she'll like it? It's difficult. She seems to have everything. I bought the children jigsaws. They like them. You can't go wrong with jigsaws. And I'm giving Bruce a golf ball.
You what? You're giving him a golf ball?
It's his sport.
A golf ball?
They're expensive.
He plays golf.
He's a member of the old Lynx Club.
You ought to give him a clothes peg as well if he's a member there.
What?
For the end of his nose.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
You mean something?
No.
I don't understand. He's been a good husband and a good father.
Have you been using my oil?
No.
You've not been oiling your sewing machine?
No.
You ought to buy your own.
He's doing all right for himself, is Bruce.
Brucey.
He's done something with his life. He hasn't wasted it sitting in his living room mucking about with bits of motorbike engine.
Mucking about? Mucking about? I am not mucking about. I have this motorbike in here for a definite purpose. I'm studying it so that...
Why?
Well, so that I don't have to spend the rest of my natural sweeping up wood shavings. You see, I have ambitions.
What?
I'm thinking of setting up on me own.
What as?
As me own boss. That'll show 'em. That'll make 'em jealous.
What are you going to do?
Set up on me own. Rent premises.
What?
I'm going to be a mechanic, aren't I?
But you're not trained.
You tell me. You just tell me anybody else who could strip a clutch down as good as that. Nah, you can't, can you? Nobody can. No, I shan't be sweeping up shavings for much longer.
I didn't know you had ambitions, Norman.
Well, I have.
I'm very pleased. When are you going to start?
I haven't quite decided, but it'll be soon.
These premises you mentioned.
I'll find somewhere.
Where's the capital coming from? Money.
I'll the bank. Oh, they'll give me a loan. They'll realise my potential. They'll invest in me.
They don't throw their money about.
Are you pouring cold water?
No.
I have enough with them.
I'm not, Norman. I want you to succeed. I only want you to realise you can't.
I'm not frightened of hard work.
I know you're not.
I can work any two of them under the table.
I'm sure you can. It's just
I'll show you all.
I hope you do.
I will. Have you been touching me bike?
No.
Oh, my crutch sprocket, missy.
I never touch your things.
It's only small.
If I started touching your things, they'd most likely be lost.
Why can't you keep things straight? Perhaps you vacuumed it up, something as small as that. It could easily...
Put it back. I haven't vacuumed. Not since you brought your engine in. It's not been out of its corner.
Can you hear a rattle in the motor?
No.
Makes a funny rattling noise when it's picking up a piece of metal.
I didn't hear anything. I always stop and have a loop when I do. Oh, don't empty it. You'll make a mess.
It's a vital part. Are you sure you haven't seen it anywhere?
Oh, there's dust everywhere.
Has anybody been?
No.
That sister of yours?
No.
With them kids, fingers in everything?
Joan's not been near for months. I'm forever tidying up after you.
Well, I wanted to get that clutch sorted out. Where can I get a spur on Christmas Eve?
Norman.
What?
Have you ever thought of doing your bike outside or somewhere?
Outside?
Or somewhere.
What do you mean?
Well, it's never seemed right somehow having a motorbike in the living room.
If you can't do your hobby in comfort...
But the place is never tidy.
What do you want it tidy for? Eh? To impress people? What do you want to impress people for?
I don't. It's just... What's wrong with your shed?
It's cold out there.
You have a paraffin heater.
I've no paraffin.
Well, get some.
I've nothing to collect it in, have I?
Why?
You know why.
Why?
Because Patch took the empty can.
Don't remind me.
You asked me.
I've forgotten.
You asked me.
Poor Patch.
It was an accident.
So you keep saying.
I stopped to tie my shoe. It seemed a good idea to tie his lead onto the can.
It wasn't.
He started to sniff along the pavement.
Poor Patch.
The can clattered. It startled him. I couldn't do anything. He ran off, the can clattering along behind
him. He must have been frightened out of his wits.
That was the last I saw of him running down Waterloo Street with a can banging along behind him.
You were lucky the RSPCA didn't get onto you.
It was an accident.
You never liked him. Right from when he was a puppy, you never liked him.
He was a stupid dog.
He knew. He knew all right.
What stupid dog I've known.
He used to whimper when he heard you coming. He knew your footsteps. He'd dive under the table.
He was scared of cats.
Whimpering under the table.
Whoever heard of a dog that was scared of cats?
He was sensitive.
Sensitive.
Highly strung. Something to do with his breeding.
We're better off without him.
I miss him. You miss your loved ones at Christmas. I miss my mother. I miss the Christmas parties. We had some fun.
I didn't have any fun.
There's never been parties like him. Aunties, uncles, cousins, everybody round at my mum's. There were so many we had to borrow the bench from the chippy. Everybody in a funny hat. Well, practically everybody. My mum would get the big teapot out. It held 20 cups. Fancy a teapot holding 20 cups. Families don't have teapots like that anymore. And I don't care what you say, we had a lot of fun. My Auntie Elsie would have us in tucks telling us about her operations. I've been cut open so many times, my tummy's like a map of the London Underground, she'd say. Her and Auntie Nellie together, they were like a turn at the old Grand Theatre. Elsie and Nellie Waters, we used to call them. They'd keep us laughing for hours. Auntie Nellie had been a widow for years. She used to go to holiday camp and every year she'd come back with a tale of some rich widower trying to get off with her. One year it was a one-legged major who wanted to share his disablement pension. After tea, Bruce would do his conjuring tricks. He was ever so good. And he didn't just do simple tricks. Every year he used to saw Auntie Elsie in half. She always insisted on it being her. Another cut won't make much difference, she'd say. He pulled a live rabbit out of hat one year and it leapt off the table and went hopping round the room. It was pandemonium. The dog went after it and Bruce went after the dog. The children were shouting and screaming. I laughed so much I thought I'd run out of tears. So one of the neighbours didn't send for the police, although they'd have needed a couple of police horses to sort us lot out.
You could see him pulling things down his sleeve.
What?
His shirt cuffs used to come down to his knuckles.
I didn't notice.
A two-year-old could have seen through his tricks.
But he could saw Auntie Elsie now.
He should have done.
There's not many amateurs that could do that.
And he used to cheat at cards.
What a thing to say.
When we played Newmarket...
You can't cheat at Newmarket. You have to follow on, red, black.
He used to hang on to cards. He should have played.
No, Norman.
He cheated all right.
I don't think...
And at Blind Man's Buff.
Never. How?
He'd peep under the scarf.
Now you're being ridiculous. You're joking. You are joking.
He's never been trustworthy.
He's family.
That doesn't make him honest.
He's our Joan's husband.
His eyebrows meet in the middle.
My mum thought the world of him. He used to take her runs in his car to all her favourite places. The Horseshoe Pass, Southport, Bolton Abbey.
He was after her money.
She didn't leave any.
Served him right.
And if we'd had a car, we could have taken her places.
Bike's always suited me. I'd like to see Brucey on a bike. I bet he can't ride one. He'd fall off, get his silk suit dirty. Hey, do you know his trousers don't have turn-ups, do they? They don't. Have you noticed? He's very with it, he's Brucey.
All I know is he takes a pride in his appearance.
He wears suede shoes and ties with little flowers on and pink shirts.
He has to look smart for his work.
Him work?
He works in an office.
So what?
He's in authority.
In authority?
He tells people what to do.
He's probably in charge of the lad who makes the tea. Tells him how many spoonfuls to put in the urn.
That's not true. He has a very responsible position. He has qualifications. He went to night school.
Diplomas don't count. Not for flower arranging.
You're going too far, Norman.
Well, I'm sick of hearing about him. Just because he works in an office, you think he's it.
Are you ready for your tea yet?
Aye.
I'll go and put it on.
What am I having? Pork chops?
No.
I could fancy pork chops.
What you're having's all right.
What am I having?
A boiled duck egg.
I don't like duck eggs.
That's not true.
You might as well go turn the gas off.
They're one of your favourites.
No.
They are.
They never have been.
But
they're dangerous.
Not duck eggs.
I read it somewhere. Most duck eggs are all right. But every so often, you get a poisonous one.
Who'd do a thing like that?
I'll finish with them.
But you've been eating duck eggs for years without being poisoned.
I've been lucky.
Can I get you anything else?
I wouldn't mind a pork chop.
I haven't got... Let me open a can of baked beans.
No.
How does baked beans on toast sound?
No.
Beans aren't poisonous, are they?
I don't want anything.
I'm sorry, I've no pork chops. It didn't occur to me to buy any. I didn't know. How was I to know?
It doesn't matter.
Straight after the holidays, I'll buy you some for your tea.
Don't bother.
But don't sulk, Norman.
Have you seen the paper?
You're sitting on it.
Hey, that'd be useful. That'd be useful. I've always wanted an air compressor.
I didn't know.
I don't tell you everything. Somebody's offering to exchange one for a circular saw.
What did you use it for?
Oh, all sorts of jobs. Inflating tyres, paint spraying. In fact, I don't think I could go into business without one. And I could show Brucey how smart I am. If he comes round here with that fancy car of his, I could sneak out and let his tyres down. Then he'd be in a mess because he hasn't got a foot pump. So he'd be all upset, weeping into his flowered hanky, which matches his tie, and I'd say to him, just a moment, Brucey, I'll just wheel out my compressor. Psst, 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 psst. That'd show him how useless he is. How it's only people like me, people with equipment and know-how that are... Pity I haven't a circular saw to exchange for it.
I thought you had one.
No.
Well, what's that you have in your shed that you make fancy shapes out of?
That's a fretwork machine.
Isn't that the same?
Nothing like it.
I'm sorry.
Hang on. Somebody's offering compressors for cash here. £30, money-back guarantee. I'll send off for one.
£30 is a lot of money.
No, it's an investment.
Oh, I didn't look at it like that.
I'll go down to the post office and buy some postal orders.
What's the use?
What do you mean?
It's Christmas.
Oh, hell.
If you're not busy, why don't you mend the fairy lights? It'd be nice having them working Christmas Day.
Why?
Joan always has a big tree.
Hey, does she still stick it in the front garden so as all the neighbours think she is somebody?
A tree in your garden doesn't mean you are somebody.
I'm glad you agree with me.
Please mend the lights, Norman. It must be the only house in the row without any.
I'll mend them.
Thank you.
What's up with them?
They're not working.
Mm. When did they go out?
They've never been in.
What?
Not since last year.
Did you test them before you put them on the tree?
No.
Oh, you should have done.
I never thought to. They were working when I put them away last year.
You should have spread them out on the floor and tested them first.
I'm sorry. I didn't think.
More difficult to test them when they're draped all over the tree. Oh! The prickles don't help.
Christmas tree prickles aren't really sharp.
Yes, they are.
Must have been a bit of tinsel.
No, it wasn't.
One of the bulbs must have gone.
I don't think so.
Months before they went out and you changed a bulb.
If it's just a bulb, all the others would stay in.
No, if one blows, they all go out.
If you know, why don't you mend them?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interfere.
It's a loose connection. I shall have to test all the sockets. A shock. I've had a shock.
I'm sorry. Why don't you put your wellies on?
You trying to be funny?
No, I read it somewhere that you can't get a shock if you're wearing wellies.
Don't get smart with me, Alice.
Honest, I read it in Andy Ince.
I am not wearing wellies.
Suit yourself.
Ah! Again. I've had another shock. 250 volts through your hands. No joke.
Ah, no, Norman, sit down.
No. I'll just carry on.
Shall I switch off?
How can I test them if they're switched off?
I'm sorry.
Help!
Oh, dear.
Rotten, blooming tree. Oh, no.
She definitely said, outside Redmond's. The family should be together at Christmas. Where else should they be if they're not together? My mother believed in the family being together. She could dedicated her life to that. If she could see us now, she'd... Although you can't really blame Joan wanting to be on her own with her immediate family. I mean, we're not immediate to her, not like her children are. We were immediate to my mother, but... not to our Joan, if you see what I mean. Oh, I hope she invites us. We could take our own chicken. Auntie Elsie and Auntie Nellie go to a hotel at Blackpool now. Perhaps we should have booked there. Although I doubt if Norman would go. He doesn't like hotels. He doesn't see the point in them. He doesn't see the point in anything much, except his bike. He thinks more of that blooming bike than anything else. No, I don't see any point in it. It's never working. It hasn't gone since... can't remember. Still, some husbands are always off gallivanting. At least I know where he is. He's in here in the winter and in his shed in the summer. And he always tips his wages up on a Friday. That's more than most wives can say. I can hold my head up and say how much he earns. I wish he earned more. Wouldn't mind going out now and again. Nowhere special. Just out. To the pictures or... No, Norman doesn't go out much. He's not a mixer. He likes to keep himself to himself. He's not one for running with the herd. He's one on his own, an individual. And he's not frightened of speaking his mind. Like this business at work about them singing these songs. He doesn't like mucky words, he never has. He doesn't see any need for them. And just because he speaks up for what he believes in, they set on him, and it's not the first time. They've tampered with his brush and there's that hand grenade. Oh, yes, they've played some dirty tricks on him. Grown men behaving like children. No, not children, like animals. That's how they behave. They think they're smart. He's not like them. He thinks things out. They don't think. He knows about bikes. He taught himself. He's going to set up on his own as a mechanic. That'll show him. Norman will show him. Animals, that's what they are. They ought to be in cages at the zoo. I shouldn't be allowed to terrorise Norman, to play tricks on him, to call him names. He's my husband. He's the only one I've got. I don't suppose our Joan will be calling. She has her own family to think of. I'll just call round in the morning with the presents. Bruce will offer me a sherry, and I'll sip it slowly and see how big the children are getting. And then I'll come home. So I'd better see about mixing the stuffing. I have a nice chicken.
That was Once Upon a Christmas by David Fitzsimmons. Roy Kinnear played Norman and Eileen Derbyshire, Alice. Production was by Alfred Bradley.